Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty advises the World Health Organization, among other organizations. She's an infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. Good morning, Dr. Marty. I was reading a very interesting story about some people who just don't get COVID, and apparently there's evidence that in rare instances, some folks may be COVID immune without infection or vaccination at all. What do you make of this?
We've actually been looking into that for a while. I'm so glad you brought that up. First of all, the interaction between viruses and their hosts are absolutely fascinating. Viruses have been around for billions of years, and the interaction between viruses and their hosts lead to all kinds of changes, including there are many viruses that over millennia have incorporated themselves into the host as part of our genetics. And in fact, placental mammals, for example, the placenta formed from the incorporation of a particular virus into placental mammals. So when you're talking about this interaction of some individuals do not get infected, that's absolutely right. And what we're looking at there is, among the many kinds of interactions, there are what we call pattern recognition receptors. Pattern recognition receptors on our cells, and they actually, believe it or not, come in two flavors. Pattern recognition receptors that recognize either danger signals or pathogen signals, that's one flavor. And then there's a completely other flavor that recognizes things that say, calm down, things are okay. But among the pattern recognition receptors that exist, some of them are within the cytosol of the cell. And the particular one I'm going to tell you about are called RIG-like receptors. Now, these RIG-like receptors, and they're named that for the first one that was found that happens to, have to do with retinoic acid. But anyway, these RIG-like receptors have been shown to work a little differently in some individuals, and often in children, they work a little differently than they work in most of us. And people whose RIG-like receptors work in this other way seem to be able to eliminate the virus before it can really get a foothold in your system. And this type of knowledge about how some individuals escape getting even, they never test positive. So someone from a family, for example, everybody in the family tests positive. The child, for example, it's often the child that has this difference in how their pattern recognition receptors are functioning. Is obviously exposed, but test negative, test negative, test negative, test negative by high quality PCR. And it's because they never have a threshold amount of virus that would be detectable by PCR because they eliminate it so fast. So that was a great question. Thank you.
Well, it's a great answer. Yeah, I'd like to be in that group that can never get it. What do you know about this story out of the UK? This morning's headline, hepatitis cases in children might be linked to, is it adenovirus, according to health officials?
And by the way, not just the UK, we have it here too in the United States. Almost all the cases in the U.S. have been found in Alabama and, curiously, in different parts of Alabama. So it's not concentrated in one area. We're still trying to figure it out. The only thing that has been found in common with these children with the hepatitis is an adenovirus. So adenoviruses are among the DNA viruses. Remember, there are two main flavors of viruses. You're either a DNA virus or you're an RNA virus, and then there's subtypes within those. So this is unlike coronavirus. adenovirus, which is an RNA virus, these adenoviruses are much bigger DNA virus. They're clunkier, they have more genetic information in them, and they tend to be much more stable, right? Many viruses can cause inflammation of the liver, right? And adenoviruses are one of those, although they're not a typical cause of inflammation of the liver, i.e. hepatitis. And we haven't absolutely resolved that that's going on. In fact, I was speaking to a colleague from Ireland yesterday, where they are also seeing these cases of these hepatitis in children. What's scary about it is it's made a number of children severely ill. Four have already had to have liver transplants, and it looks like there's going to be more children that are going to need liver transplants because of having had this adenovirus. And again, I say that with a little bit of caution because we're not 100% sure that even though that's the only thing we're finding in them, that is the cause and effect hasn't been proven yet, right? Mm-hmm. We suspect it's an adenovirus. We don't know it's an adenovirus. One child has already died of this as well. So it's something to be aware of. But sadly, at this time, we, again, are not 100% sure it's the adenovirus, and we do not know how these kids are getting it. So that makes it harder for me to be able to say, well, don't do this, that, and the other, and you'll be fine, or do this, that, and the other, and you'll be fine, because sure, we don't yet know what the link is.
Of course. And in the last 24 hours, we've been hearing about so many Americans who have been infected with coronavirus at least once, nearly 60% of the population. Any idea how long infection-induced immunity lasts? Do you know for sure yet?
Nobody knows for sure. And it's going to be different in different people. Because remember, these host-viral interactions are so many. There's so many. And each person's genetics are a little different. Their exposure history is different, right? Every time that you get infected with something, the specialized adaptive immune cells called B cells and T cells actually have a shift in the order of the DNA, right? So that's normal that happens, that you get these shifts. So prior exposure to other things that may have altered how your immune cells work, all of it gets compiled as to how long immunity is going to last in an individual. Right now, it seems that these coronaviruses that we're facing right now, these variants of SARS-CoV-2, are following the patterns that we know from other coronaviruses historically, in that immunity doesn't last. And that's what I'm most concerned about, Bob, is that right now there is this high level of immunity in our population, even though there's rising cases because of BA.2 and BA.2 subvariants in the United States. So we're not seeing a big impact in hospitals. But as that immunity, that natural immunity goes down, if these horrible variants keep circulating, as unfortunately this could happen, then there might be that point where we start losing immunity, rising variants, and then start seeing a problem again. And I hope that doesn't happen, but that's the worst case scenario.
We hope it doesn't happen is right. Dr. Eileen Marty, and we so appreciate your expertise here every Wednesday morning. Can I get a college credit for listening to you every week? Is that possible? Can you arrange that?
Well, you'd have to take an exam, Bob.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.